right. If you take your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Get my microphone turned back on. Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. We want to pick up where we left off last week. We had read these two verses that we're going to read here. And we're going to share with you some things this morning. Before we read the scripture, did you hear the story about little Johnny that was 4 years old? His parents were concerned because he had never uttered a single word. And one morning his mom put biscuits on the table for breakfast that were a little bit burned on the bottom. He looked up with disgust and said very clearly, "The biscuits are burnt." They raved over him, finally having spoken, and asked him why he'd never talked before. He said, "Well, up until now, everything's been all right." You know? May God help us not to open our mouths to complain, but to open our mouths in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord when things are going good. Last week, we began talking about this problem that is becoming more and more prevalent in this world in which we live, and that is having a complaining spirit. You know it's true. I mean, it's just manifested itself in a great way, especially this year. And we looked at the cause of a complaining spirit, and we said, you know, it comes because of reaction to difficult circumstances, circumstances that have been harder than you expected. 2021, it's been kind of harder than we expected at the beginning of the year, amen? And it's easy to develop a complaining spirit. We talked about another cause was rebellion against God and His best for you. God knows better than we do. Whatever comes our way, I've said this over and over in the 13 years, going on 13 years we've been here, listen, it is a thing that God knows exactly what's coming our way, and it comes to us God-filtered. I've used that before. Nothing comes our way except it's filtered first by God. And then we said another cause of a complaining spirit was rejection. Rejection of God, especially His Word, His will, and His ways. And we saw this very clearly in the example given to us in Scripture of the in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel, all of their complaining when the Lord delivered them out of the Egyptian bondage and was leading them through the wilderness to a place that He had promised them, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And they made it a lot longer journey than what it needed to be. In fact, some of them didn't get to go. Those that were 20 years old up, I should say those are 20 years old and down, got to go in the land. But their parents were able to complain, and so the Lord allowed them to drop in the wilderness. We see also, we talked about the curse of a complaining spirit. We said it's contagious, it spreads easily. And then you know that to be true. You let somebody start complaining, before you know it, it's infiltrated the whole room. I mean, people just, for some reason, it's contagious. It spreads easily. The complaining spirit is contentious. By contentious, we're talking about the spirit of it. The spirit of it is all wrong. Having a contentious spirit is not a godly thing. And we said a complaining spirit is costly. We talked about how it can adversely affect our health, our reputation, and it can cost us God's best for our life. In fact, it cost those that were delivered out of the bondage to, as I said, drop in the wilderness dead. And that's not a good thing, all except Joshua and Caleb and Moses. Moses, of course, he didn't make it to the promised land. He died too, but because he didn't obey the Lord. As we closed last week, we looked at our text today and just touched on it briefly and said we were going to come back and talk about this more in depth. We want to talk about the cure of a complaining spirit. Look at Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We also shared with you a couple other passages over in 1 Timothy 6, verse number 6 and 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 8 of 1 Timothy 6, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, let's think about this. The cure for a complaining spirit is tied very closely to something called contentment. Yeah? And it was only about 6 weeks ago that I actually preached the message on a Sunday evening about contentment and the believer. Remember that? We preached out of Philippians 4, verses 9 through 13. As you weren't able to be here for that message and didn't go listen to it on sermon audio or YouTube, then or even a CD, we still have those avenues available. You know, if you're not able to be here, we're trying to make it as convenient as possible. You didn't listen to the message, you don't have a clue about what I'm talking about. But that's why it's important to be faithful to the services, and when you can't be faithful to the service for a good reason, then you need to catch up on what you missed out on. Because it does matter. So that's a public service announcement, and it's over. We're back to the message. All right. So in the last 2 weeks, we've seen the Apostle Paul say pretty much the same thing to two different churches. He wrote for them not to murmur. Philippians 2:14 here, do all things without murmurings and disputings. We saw last week in 1 Corinthians 10:10, he told the Corinthian church, neither murmur ye as some of them. Speaking of the Israelites, some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I'm going to get it out of my mouth. Now, are these warnings or commands? Yes, they're both. They're warnings and commands. So how do we accomplish such a thing? You know, Paul told the Philippians that their lives were on display to the crooked and perverse nation that they lived in. And guess what? Our souls are on display too in this crooked and perverse nation we live in. And make no mistake about it, we don't live in a godly nation. We live in a crooked and perverse nation. We should not be guilty of things which do not bring honor and glory to God. And murmurings, in other words, complaining and disputings, do not bring honor and glory to God. So what are we to do? Just stop it. Remember, T. Hall, dating myself, you know, he said, "Doctor, doctor, it hurts when I do that." And he's like, "Well, don't do that." Yeah. And that's really the admonition here. Don't murmur. It's not good for you. Don't murmur. He says that we are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. You say, well, that's easier said than done. And you're right, it is. All things, what he says there, not just some things or certain things, but all things, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, how we respond to the situations that we find ourselves in says much to those around us about who we are and whose we are, who we live for. Do all things without murmuring. Now, the word murmuring means a grumbling, a complaining. So Paul doesn't tell us how to do this specifically in either of these passages of Scripture. But that doesn't mean that Scripture doesn't offer us any help. There's plenty of help in Scriptures about this. And that's why, number one, we need to recognize it as the heart problem that it is and deal with it as such. Complaining, grumbling, murmuring is a heart issue. It's a heart problem. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse number 45. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. Now, I'm going to use a technical term that comes back from the early computer days. That's still beyond some of your, you know, some of you have had computers the whole time. I know that. But when we first got our computer, we had an IBM PC Junior. I know it's laughable. 128K of memory, and you know, you had to load DOS to get it to work. Well, back then, when we would have something go wrong with a computer, we'd get mad at the computer and say, you know, it's not doing what I want it to do. And you'd call the computer tech guy, and he said, that's a GIGO problem. G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. So you just punched something in wrong. So what you did, you go back and you check, and that's exactly what you did. You punched something in wrong. And still, you have GIGO problems. Garbage in, garbage out. But what I'm saying is, what are you putting into your heart? Because what you put in your heart is going to determine what comes out of your heart. If you put garbage in your heart, guess what? Don't be surprised if garbage comes out. A grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. A grumbling in one's heart, if not dealt with, will spill out to a murmuring of the mouth, and even to a murmuring or complaining in an open forum, such as a church. Now, understand that complaining and disputing can stem from bitterness. That's a heart issue, isn't it? Bitterness. Yeah. Bitterness is in here. Job got bitter. And when his way got tough, in Job 7:11, he said, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now, he said some things he shouldn't have said. Yeah. He wanted to talk about how God was not being fair to him, right? What was that? Complaining, grumbling, murmuring against God. When God got a hold of him and finally set him straight, he said, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I've been wrong. Job got his heart off of the Lord and onto his own circumstances, and that caused him to develop bitterness. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15 tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then it goes on to say, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Doesn't take much to cause a seed of bitterness to start springing up in your heart, does it? Yeah. You know, somebody treats you the wrong way or say the wrong thing to you, before you know it, that thing is taking root. And you've allowed it to grow. And it develops into something that it never should have turned into. And before you know it, complaining has become a way of life. And understand, complaining can quickly become a way of life. If we're not careful, we will find ourselves critically complaining about almost everything in our lives, just like the Israelites in Numbers 14:27, when the Lord said about them, he said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. God was hearing the complaints. He wasn't pleased with it. And Paul said he wasn't pleased with it. These things happened to them for examples, and you know, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's how he put it there in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, not only can complaining quickly become a way of life, but complaining can seal the direction of one's life. Numbers 14, verse 36 through 37, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. It can change your direction and put it in a direction you don't want it to be, can it? It can. Listen, how we respond to people and situations provides us with opportunities of either promoting or diminishing the gospel. You know, right? I mean, how we respond in the heart will often lead to how we react both inwardly and outwardly. Does anybody want to hear the gospel come out of your mouth if you got a complaining, murmuring spirit? They say, you need the gospel. Talk to me about me needing the gospel. Have you heard you lately? Complaining has a tendency to lead to arguing. between stimulus and response is the choice of how to react or how to act. So complaining and disputing can stem from bitterness. Secondly, complaining and disputing can stem from selfishness. Again, these are heart issues. Bitterness is in the heart. Selfishness is in the heart. Look there, you're in Philippians 2. Look at verses 2 through 8 for just a minute. We see in verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves." That's, don't be selfish, right? Look at verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things." That's a selfish attitude, isn't it? "But every man also on the things of others." You know, don't just look out for number one. Look out for those around you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, it's not about us. It's about Christ and His gospel. Everything that we are as believers is to be about Christ and His gospel. It's about others that are lost and bringing them to Christ. It's about others that are saved and trying to edify them, edifying the body of Christ. See, we're to be all about others. Murmurings and disputing proves nothing other than our own selfishness. So, this problem of the heart must be dealt with by the same means of other problems of the heart. How do we deal with other problems of the heart? By Scripture and prayer. So that's kind of simplistic, preacher. Yeah, it is. But when we're not in the book like we're supposed to be, and when we're not praying like we're supposed to be, guess what? We develop heart problems. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God, Scripture, okay, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you'll expose yourself to Scripture, Scripture will expose the sin in your heart and what to do about it. As believers, we're to cast down the things that lead to murmurings and disputings. Think of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh," which we do not war after the flesh, "for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If we do that, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, I think we'd be a lot better with our attitude. Our aim should be to do all things without complaining or arguing, that we might glorify God. Aren't we to glorify God in all that we do as believers? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 through 33. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, and not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Again, the greater picture is bigger than you and me. We as believers, our life is to be about Christ and His aim. The greater aim is to do all things that others might see Jesus in us, so that it might eventually lead to their salvation if they're lost, or lead to their spiritual growth if they're saved. So, first point, recognize it as the heart problem that it is and deal with it as such. Number two, recognize it as the fleshly problem that it is, and deal with it as such. We still live in this flesh, don't we? When you got saved, you didn't lose the flesh. One of these days we're going to drop this flesh. Amen. It's going to be glorified. It's going to be turned into a glorified body like the Lord. But until then, we've got it to deal with. Now, flip back a few pages there to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. And if the problem is the flesh, this old sinful flesh that we still live in, even as believers, then we've got to deal with it as a fleshly problem. And that means that we follow what Paul said in Galatians 5, beginning here with verse 16. Notice what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, works of the flesh can be easily seen. And he names a list of them there. I'm not going to read through the list. But even such thing. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, this is not a complete list of the works of the flesh. Do you think that complaining and murmuring is a work of the flesh? Even though it's not in the list, it's such like is what it is. It's such like. And he says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if you look at that list there of things that the Spirit produces in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, are any of those associated with complaining? They're not. So it gets back to, it's a flesh problem. It's a spiritual problem. We're living after the flesh instead of living according to the Spirit. Because if we're walking in the Spirit will produce those things in verse 22 and 23. And notice what he says here in verse number 24. And they that are Christ, and I hope you are this morning, hope you're His, you're a believer. It says, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, you know, when we are in Christ, we died in Christ on the cross. The old man was crucified, so we need to treat him as such according to Romans in chapter number 8. You go back to Romans 8, and it talks about Romans 6. One of the two. Talks about how we are to not walk in that old life, but we're to walk in the new life. That is first the old man was nailed on the cross. It's Romans chapter number 6. And the old man was nailed on the cross, was buried with Christ there, and arose with Christ so that we can live according to our new life in Christ, not living according to the flesh. Now, this goes back to the first point. If we recognize it as a heart problem, and deal with it as such, get in Scripture and prayer, that's going to help also with this fleshly problem. Several things here. First, as a believer, choose to not walk in the flesh. Choose not to. You have a choice. When you were lost, you didn't have a choice. You were walking according to the flesh because you were lost. Now that you're saved, you have a choice in the matter. Acknowledge that the complaining spirit is sinful. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, we need to see our negativity through God's eyes. And when we do that, it allows us to apply the principle of 1 John 1:9. We're familiar with 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful. So that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now remember what we said that word confess means? To say the same thing. See, sometimes we just put up with a complaining spirit in our life and we don't say the same thing that God says about it. That it's sinful, it's wrong, and it needs to be forsaken. And when you get to the point where you see it as sinful and wrong and it needs to be forsaken, you're going to do something about it. But listen, you're not going to do something about it until. You're just not. Once we've confessed and forsaken our complaining spirit, then we can ask God to help us gain victory over it. And when we do that, He'll put a song in our heart. He'll lead us to the passages of Scripture that will help us in our walk. And His Holy Spirit will direct us in those things. So as a believer, choose to not walk in the flesh. As a believer, choose to walk in the Spirit. And let me give you five things real quick here to help you with this, and we're done. Okay? Five things to help you. Number one, be thankful always in all things. Be thankful always in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every time that we are tempted to grumble and complain, we need to turn our face toward the Lord and let our grumbling be turned into gratefulness as we view God's goodness to us. Amen? Yeah. You know, we get on the eyes on the circumstances, we're going to grumble. Keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll be thankful, we'll be praising Him. There's always something to be thankful for in every situation. But we have to train ourselves to look for it. As gratitude becomes a more frequent visitor in our hearts and minds, then those negative emotions will find no place to rest in our heart. And eventually, gratitude moves in as a permanent, regular part of our walk. And guess what? We'll have a sweet spirit instead of a complaining spirit. And others will take notice. It's a good testimony. And I said, man, you just seem so cheerful all the time. You're full of joy, yet you got these things going on in your life. Yeah, well, God's still good to me. Amen. We all have something that we can praise Him for. So be thankful always in all things. Number two, fight selfishness. Fight selfishness. An unselfish heart thinks of others ahead of itself. It gives instead of takes. It serves instead of demanding to be served. And listen, that's going to take the whole armor of God. It just is, because it's a spiritual problem that we will battle each and every day from now until the Lord comes back, or we hit the grave, whichever comes first. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It takes putting the armor on and using it. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, keeping others in mind there. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Here's the third thing. Believe that you are valuable and loved by God. Believe that you are valuable and loved by God. You know, Satan tries to get us to think that somehow the Lord doesn't love us anymore. That's really what he was doing with Job. You know, he was hoping for a little bit worse scenario. I mean, he did get Job to complain, but he didn't get Job to cursing God. That was his goal. He wanted Job to curse God. And Job never cursed God. But he'll have us griping and complaining about the Lord rather than praising the Lord for His great love manifested in His Son. Whenever Satan tries to tempt you that the Lord doesn't love you anymore, just point to the cross. And that's all you need to do. Go back to the cross. The cross proves that the Lord loves you. When we fully grasp that God's love isn't dependent on our ability to earn His favor, and we can stop measuring ourselves against everyone around us and find our value and self-worth in Christ. So it's not about earning Christ's love that we do this. That's not it. It's about wanting to show our love for Him. If you want to show your love for Him, you've got to develop a thankful spirit, not a complaining spirit. Okay? Number four. Choose to live in joy regardless of your circumstances. It's tough. I know it is. But it's a choice. and you need to choose to do it. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Right here in the same book that we've got our text in, Paul is saying rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Where do we see that? Prison. He was a prisoner. Yeah. But he chose to rejoice. And even in the Old Testament, Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Choose to live in joy regardless of your circumstances. And then number 5, focus on the coming of the Lord. The things in this life that trouble us so much, it's just temporary. It'll soon all be over. Really. I mean, before you know it, we'll be out of here. What we have in Christ is eternal. The things in this life are only temporary. Don't you want to be known for a thankful spirit rather than a complaining spirit, a murmuring spirit? Listen to what the Bible says about our lives as believers. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. And this is the last that I must say. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, you are. Okay? If you're saved, you're risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What things are going to be above? Is there going to be any grumbling or complaining there? Nothing but praise of our Lord. Nothing but praise. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When we set our affection on things on the earth, and things don't turn out the way that we think they ought to be, and we develop a grumbling, complaining spirit, don't we? We just do. But if you set your affection on things above, there's nothing to find grumbling or complaining in. He says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is in Christ. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So focus on the coming of the Lord. Amen. But this all goes back to the very first thing. Do you know the Lord? Without knowing the Lord, the Word of God is not going to speak to you. You're not going to have the Holy Spirit to help you. You can't walk according to the Spirit. You've got to be saved. So if you're not saved, come to know Him today. Now, if you are saved, it is possible to live a life that's free of murmuring and complaining. If we get our focus in the right place, not on the circumstances, but on our Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we know that your word is best. And Lord, it's so easy for us in the circumstances of this life for us to get caught up just like the world in things that we have no business being into. One of which is a wrong spirit. Lord, help us to develop a sweet spirit. A spirit that would glorify and honor you and that would show Christ is living inside of us. And that people would want what we have. Lord, there's one that's lost today. Help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But help us who are saved, Lord, to choose. Realize we have a choice and choose. Choose to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. To choose, Lord, to do the things that would sweeten our spirit rather than things that would cause us to have a complaining spirit. Help us now in this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand.